calendar 98-67, Palace Flag versus Tribe by Local Board of Education in California. If the board here, I understand the board did not, maybe I'm wrong, did not actually attach a copy of the other documents. If they had done that, I assume you would, if it had done that, I assume you would still object, would you?
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't believe at all, Chief Justice Blair, that was a short feedback that we believe exists in this case. I submit to the court that the legislative mandate, Section 3319.11, this court defined that obligation to provide a statement of circumstance of a neighbor versus Cardinal School District and Inverter versus the Salem School. This court, in very unequivocal terms, recited that the statement of circumstances is not a hollow exercise, it must be a meaningful exercise. Statements must provide meaningful information to the teacher. The statement must provide the teacher with a clear and substantive basis for the board's decision not to reemploy the teacher for the following school year.
If that law is so clear, why did the Court of Appeals, where did they go wrong?
I believe the court misapplied the promise decision issued by this court, Justice Douglas. Promise, as the court is well aware, is a decision by this court for this court to enforce a practice wherein Evaluate 4 may incorporate by reference a prior evaluation or a comment
good point, because it's the treasurer who is required to produce this, and it seems that typically the treasurer of the school district is not going to have any information firsthand. He's going to get the information from elsewhere, and in this case, he took the information from the firsthand people and communicated that it was that information that the teacher already had.
I believe the G2 requirement, Justin Cody, is that the treasurer, on behalf of the Board of Education, must supply the statement of service.
Yeah.
So, in fact, this is the Board's statement of service.
Well, regardless, my point still is we've assigned the task, the statute assigns the task to a secondary type person, not the primary. You know, not the folks who would have the information, usually. In this case, it's about performance, so surely a treasurer doesn't observe and have that firsthand.
Well, that is correct. The treasurer probably would not have that information firsthand. The treasurer probably would not be an evaluator or observer. However, there may be a circumstance that is outside the evaluation process that the board, for example, might rely upon and advise the teacher about those circumstances that led to a contract on you. It does not necessarily mean that the board was led to an observation or an evaluation. I believe this case presents us with a classic example of the danger of adopting wholeheartedly, without any reservation whatsoever, the doctrine of incorporation by reference into the G2 statement of circumstances. One need only examine the observations and the annual three different observers. There were two annual reports on this teacher issued by two different evaluators. The evaluations themselves are inconsistent. The observations themselves are inconsistent. The first observation tells the teacher, just look at the first entry. Does the teacher have a knowledge and understanding of subject matter? On October 24th, she did. On November 7th, she did. On February 14th, she did. On February 21st, a week later, she did.
Each of them showed shortcomings. There were different subjects that were evaluated. I don't know those two.
The point I'm making, Your Honor, is that at the end of the year, the mandatory obligation, responsibility imposed upon the board is to tell the teacher, these are the circumstances. This is why. This is the reason we are not reemploying you. Not here are seven sheets of paper. Go figure out what are deficiencies and what are not.
But I wonder, I think that you make a point. I'm trying to figure if that is the key. How specific that has, I know that our cases use the word substantial, I forget, I mean I have it here, but the point is, it was disclosed here that the problem was teaching, substandard teaching, but as opposed to theft, failure to attend, having a fight with the principal. I mean, there'd be circumstances. How specific? This one was teaching problem.
There's a question of specificity. Mm-hmm. I submit will always be a question that must be addressed, examined, and analyzed on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
However, if this Board of Education, and I will continue, if this Board of Education has extracted from the evaluation some clearly recited deficiency, which it considers to be legitimate, and included that in a brief paragraph designated as the D2 statement of circumstances, we probably would not be here today.
And the point for doing that is that the teacher can refute? Is that, if that's for purposes of notice for the hearing?
Absolutely. The teacher
is and is it better to have it all?
She has it all. Be in a position to meaningfully be able to react to and hopefully rebut that before the Board of Education. The statement of circumstances is not intended as a device to burden shift. This is not a device by which the Board of Education may shift the burden of discovering what the rationale for non-renewal is. That is not the intention behind it or underlying the statement of circumstances. That D2 statement is designed, as this Board has said on several occasions, to advise the teacher of the rationale as to why the Board is not reemploying her for the subsequent year, not to force the teacher onto an expedition to discover what that reason might be.
But you want to say the standard should be exact deficiency as opposed to teaching deficiency.
I believe the standard is as recited by this Court in Naylor. The Board is obligated to issue an independent writing, a writing independent of other documents, reciting what the basis for non-renewal is, the statement of circumstances. Not simply to say there are eight documents out there issued this year with 35 categories and 5 ratings for each category.
No, you're still getting off. It's teaching deficiency versus exact teaching deficiency. That's got to be the claim. She has to know that it was precisely this deficiency in teaching, as opposed to it could have been theft, it could have been late tardiness.
I was not clear on that.
Yeah.
I apologize. Of course, it must be the exact
teaching deficiency.
Okay. I don't believe the statute is complied with simply by saying that you're not competent, or we have to hear a teacher who is eligible for tenure, so we're going to not renew your contract. That is not what the statute contemplates. Under these circumstances, this Board was obliged to cite a precise deficiency, not invite the teacher to go and examine on her own documents that may or may not be deficient.
I have one more question. One more question. Can it be an aggregate of deficiencies?
Can it be an aggregate?
Would that meet the test?
I can envision a situation where that might be appropriate, an aggregate of deficiencies, as long as the recitation of appears in a separate independent document as opposed to an incorporation by reference of several almost undefined documents. If I may make just one more point about the documentation in this case, because again, I believe this clearly, precisely exemplifies the danger gap. In the observation, there is a section which recites that the teacher, to some extent, possesses a certain quality. Is that a deficiency? I'm not quite sure. In the end of year evaluation instrument, there is a column indicating that the teacher is in need of improvement.
Is she a teacher under a limited contract?
Yes, she is, and she was eligible for tenure this year.
In paragraph 3 of Naylor specifically says, G2 requires the Board of Education to provide a teacher under a limited contract a clear and substantive basis for its decision not to reemploy the teacher for the following year. What clear and substantive basis was there in this?
Let me test that. You said that you would be satisfied, or I think you said we wouldn't be here probably, if the board had lifted statements from the evaluation and put them into a separate document so that the teacher wouldn't have to pour through how many documents there are. But I guess it seems to me when the board says the reason for non-renewal are those deficiencies which are described in the passive reservation form of state and so forth, the concerned deficiency or the deficiency of the basic form appraisal. I guess I'm wondering if we're not talking about form over substance here. I mean, I can see your concern in some cases where there are broad references or where the teacher does have to pour through documents, but here they're pretty specific, aren't they?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. This is a case that presents a classic example of non-specific observation. This is a case that deviates so markedly from this court's Silvis 3, the Naylor case, with respect to the provision of a clear and substantive basis for non-renewal. That does not exist here. There is no recitation in the letter served upon the appellant, Alex Guy, clearly and substantively advising her as to what the basis for non-renewal is. She is invited to go on a fishing expedition in a hearing before the Board of Education. And she is invited to determine for herself whether a needs improvement marking is a deficiency. These two evaluators that looked at her couldn't even agree on what the deficiencies were, and she is expected to determine for herself, by herself, what those deficiencies are. This is precisely what this court was attempting to guard against in the Naylor case. This court in Naylor 10 in paragraph 11 shows us, not only is 3319.11 liberally construed, but 2011 is deliberately construed in favor of teachers, a class designed to be protected by that legislation. I submit to the court that the Court of Appeals decision in this case, conclusively adopting the incorporation by reference doctrine in the D2 statement of circumstances, does violence to that liberal construction. If these valuable rights are to be preserved, and this statute, if they have any meaning whatsoever, that incorporation by reference doctrine must be rejected, and this board must be required to issue the statement contemplated by this court in Naylor. And that is the provision of a clear and substantive statement leading up to the rule. This court has addressed the remedy issue concerns. This court has said that back pay continues to run until such time as an appropriate statement of circumstances is served by the Board of Education on the teacher in this case. in that request for a hearing, he made no reference to the person being confused or unsure about the basis of the board's decision. That's different than Gerner, where Mr. Gerner actually said, I need more information, I don't think the statement he provided applies to the law. Mm-hmm. In this case, no such statement or request for additional information is made by his counsel. Rather, she asked for a hearing and was provided. We looked at that hearing. It took place over 5.5 hours. The appellant representative had an opportunity to confront each of the people who initially done the evaluation instrument. The representative had handled the documents in his possession for at least 3 weeks prior to the hearing. He cross-examined him in detail about the deficiencies listed in those documents. He then presented additional witnesses on behalf of the appellant, who also testified about their personal observations, trying to refute and rebut the statement of circumstances for the deficiencies of the evaluation. And then the appellant handed out to me and did testify from the board. In Naylor, the court said that state circumstances need to provide a clear and substantive basis. I think where the trial court and where the appellant goes awry in this case is thinking that there can be a single statement of exactly why the speaker has been now renewed. They fail to recognize it could be for the action that the teacher has been in the position overall.
Why can't there be a single statement of the reasons for it not being renewed?
I think the single statement in this case is deficiency in the evaluation. I think what they want is us to say it was specifically because of her class or lack of class control.
No, the case law says you should be specific in stating reasons why you're doing what you're doing.
Case law says there should be a clear and substantive basis.
Correct.
I would argue that deficiency
Where's the clear and concise statement of reasons in this case?
In this case, I think stating that it's the teacher's deficiencies in performance, and then following
on the following pages,
specific document that has been prepared by the administration over the course of the year. It's not just one event over the course of the year that led to this board's decision not renewed. What the court said was, we're not reviewing you because we're unhappy generally with your performance. The evaluation showed why the administration was not happy with your performance. I think for the treasurer to prepare a document that is any more specific, it's not going to provide teachers any additional information. If they listed every single deficiency noted already in the evaluation, teachers would have no additional information brought to their attention.
But this is the problem that what you're asking us to do is take these cases case by case. I mean, it may be we can argue that here the teacher clearly apparently knew what the deficiencies were because they had a hearing on it, but if that's the rule, then every one of these cases comes to us as well. Would a statement in a separate form enough to advise the teacher? Wouldn't it be a much better rule to say that the board has to take the time? A lawyer can help the clerk prepare a statement, I would guess, to the board, if that's an issue. So that we don't have these factual issues over whether the teacher had to look at one record, one piece of paper, or 5 pieces of paper, or 20 pieces of paper, determining what the clear statement is. Wouldn't it be a much just sharper rule to say the board has to provide a separate document that summarizes, put it all together, zero. This is why you're not being renewed here.
Well, I think if you look at the purpose behind the statement, the purpose of the statement is to greater detail could also be allowing room for incorporating the statement of service and purpose, by incorporating the evaluation, then everything that has taken place over the course of the last 2 years that was observed and considered by the administration in making it an overall decision can be presented to the teacher as required.
Since the teacher argued that, came to us with a case like that, couldn't we then just say, wait a minute, it doesn't say they have to give you 12 circumstances, just does give you a clear and concise statement of the circumstance. I mean, I read what was in Naylor. The Gorner is just about as clear or clearer. Not to reemploy a teacher, a court, an appeal. You must describe the circumstances. And what's so hard to see? I'll tell you what my concern is, and give you a fair shot at me, because I wrote the original case on this way back in the Court of Appeals in about 1982 or 3, I think. And the problem is, you have a teacher who gets non-renewed, has to go to another jurisdiction to get a teaching position. Now he or she walks in to whoever is doing the interviewing. There are 30 applications, they narrow them down to 5, and you've got this teacher who is discharged or non-renewed for a particular reason, most qualified. And they look at her or him and say, but why did you get terminated? Why did your contract not get renewed? And if there's no specific circumstances or reason, it's because you were stealing the kid's lunch money or some other reason. And you are immediately crossed off the list for employment. Now, how is that fair?
Well, I think back to the exact issue they concerned me by requiring more specificity in the statement, because if you say sufficiency and then that statement of circumstance, if the teacher goes to another district, they can say, well, I had some conflict with the other administration, but they weren't happy with my performance.
Oh,
that is incumbent on that other school district, respective employer, to follow up and find out exactly what they're concerned
about. So you're not complying with the statute because you're protecting the teacher.
No, I think that if you provide greater specificity, what you're going to have is basically the fact that we're creating a job preference that's going to follow that teacher the rest of the person's life. In this case, if you were to come up with all the specific deficiencies regarding the teacher, you could have 2 or 3 or 5 pages of detailed problems with the teacher. That follows her to the next job. Then her chance of being exempt, she's not even getting that final 5.
And should the new school board or the interviewer know those things?
I think the school board has the right to ask the references when they contact the other school. I'm just saying, I don't think the statute that's written, as this court has interpreted in Naylor, requires that much specificity in the document.
I guess I'm still sort of befuddled by why, if the purpose of the school board, allowing the school board not renewing teachers, hopefully, is because the teachers are not providing education to students that we want. This is kind of a computer science teacher, and one can understand that perhaps the teacher didn't keep up with computer science. I don't know
exactly.
Well, I think that's what's here. And so, most parents would not want their children learning from a teacher where the children are ahead of the teacher. Why wouldn't the board just, if they said that in the deficiencies, what's wrong with the board saying that in a separate statement? So that we don't have all these arguments about teacher has to go look at 15 documents and figure out why she's deficient. She knows why she's deficient. That's not the point. The point is that we give people notice. We give them notice so that they know exactly why they're losing their rights. And I guess I don't understand why isn't this so simple for the board to, just to make do a statement?
I think the board could be making a statement. I think the board recognizes, as indicated earlier, that the board relies upon the administration when making the decision to not renew, and then the treasurer is responsible for issuing the statement of circumstances. Now, the statute does not say, when we now do prior to April 30th, that we have to, in that board resolution, state the specific reason for not renewing. It gives the option to the teacher to rebut the statement. We provide a statement that says we're not renewing.
Well, guess I'm not sure why it has to be greater detail. If there have been these evaluations that there would normally be, what's so difficult? I guess I'm not hearing. What is so difficult in lifting from the evaluation those points that are made in the evaluation that convinced the superintendent, the superintendent ultimately, and then the board, because they're recommended the board, lifting from the evaluation, because that's what we have, those points that convince the superintendent that she or he should recommend to the board the teacher not be removed, and that convince the board the teacher shouldn't be removed. What that process seems to me to be not as difficult as you're making it out to be.
I think it adds additional work that staff sees, not part of the statute. To say that they want to include one or two items, they could have done that. They could have gone to the evaluation and looked at the March 8th end of year appraisal and found one or two things and listed those. They thought they would be more complete and thorough to this feature by saying the whole picture, all the deficiencies combined. I mean, it was also discussed earlier the fact that there were some inconsistencies. Well, the teacher taught fairly classes, not just in the keyboard when she was being observed. She may have her knowledge of subject matter with regard to the business class.
So that would explain why there might be two different evaluators who would see different things. That's explainable. So there could be inconsistent obviously.
That's right. But overall, when the administrators get together and they say, we're just not pleased with this person's performance, it's inaccurate for them to go and say, well, only these 2 points, and then
list those. Counselor, let me accept that explanation for purposes of argument. And I don't want to harangue at you. I apologize if I was too pointed with you earlier. But let's accept your argument. Why wouldn't the school system, the board, the superintendent, have done it after the trial court spelled it out? Just give her a reason. Instead, you've gone to the Court of Appeals and then all the way to the Supreme Court, involved all of this taxpayer money, when all you have to do is write, she's not computer literate, and she teaches computers. Why wouldn't you have done that?
And we did.
I mean, you know how frustrated we get?
We gave her a
but the trial court said it wasn't sufficient pursuant to the statute, didn't it?
We don't believe that much substance is required by the statute. The statute says it needs to be provided a statement of circumstances. The court interpreted that to mean a clear and substantive.
So we aren't even looking at the subsequent statement? Don't have that before us? Well, supposing we reverse this case, how long does the back pay go? Till today, or can you give a bat reason and record it, or are you going to then come back another time and say, well, we gave it to her right after the trial court's opinion?
I would contend the trial court indicated that we are to reverse and go back to the trial court's decision. It indicated we need to provide a substantive basis, a clear and substantive basis. We provided 3 or 4 days after that decision the clear and substantive basis, like I said, 3 days, but I would say the back pay is cut off at that point in time.
Okay, so you did that. And yet you appeal too. And so that if we reverse, what you're going to do, and you know they're going to raise the issue, it's not over till it's over. And it's not over until we say it one way or the other.
That's
right. So then you'll come back up here and say, when was it over? I mean, that's the kind, you know how frustrating it gets to see one of these teacher cases after another. When the statutes are so clear, I mean, we didn't write them. We don't even care. It says to give a substantial reason. And it says a concise reason and a circumstance.
I can't think of anything more concise than teaching the
okay.
And then giving that shot that we rely on. Thank you.
say the little to many.
Thank you.
Okay, you'll be advised of our opinion.